Today on Real Life Radio.
I want to worship. Why? Because in our Christian warfare, worship is key. And the more we learn this, the better off we'll be. But we've got to be careful that we don't take the credit.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Daniel Cohen here from Israel. If you love Pastor Jack Hibbs' fearless approach to teaching God's Word, you'll love the Real Life Network. It's built for warriors who want the truth, God's truth. On The Daniel Cohen Show, we bring you stories the mainstream media downplays. It's time to start getting your news from people you trust, and it's totally free. Sign up now at reallifenetwork.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his series called 1 Samuel and a message titled The Wrong Type of Worship. Samuel of the Old Testament was the last judge of Israel and the first of its prophets. So here in chapter 13, we'll discover what true worship really looks like. You see, even today, many people engage in worship that's either misguided, superficial, or an emotional display, void of the deeper things of the heart. True worship is not just about external acts, but about sincerity, obedience, and in line with how we live our lives. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that just like in Samuel's time, our enemy, Satan, is alive and well, ready to defeat us. But if we are aware of the danger and we don't live a life of independence, but very much dependent upon God, a simple song of true worship can send the enemy running. Now with his message called The Wrong Type of Worship, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Saul's greatest threat, as we'll see, is to himself. And that's true in my life. Saul had the example of worship. He had grown up in Israel. But I believe that Saul had never entered into worship, as we shall see. Worship, by the way, demands a cost. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, David said, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, of that which has cost me nothing. David said, I'm not going to go worship God without offering something that cost me something. You see, I think how far the Christian church has strayed from this thing that we call worship. We can go into a church setting and it's all really up and driving and fun and great. And that's wonderful. But is it worship? It could be, but not always. We need to be discerning. Is God being worshiped? You see, what I hope to accomplish this evening is not to put God in a box and not to put you in a box. I don't want you to leave this place tonight saying, well, we need to worship this way. I think what I got out of the message was we need to worship kind of standing like this. Wrong. You've missed it. I want you to have freedom here to worship. You want to get on your knees and worship? Get on your knees. Really? Mm-hmm. You want to stand up? Stand up. You want to raise your hands? You want to sit on your hands? Sit on your hands. I want you to have that freedom. See, Jack, aren't you worried about running a risk of some nut running around? You know what? I think there'll be less chance of a nut running around, and I'm willing to take that chance. The ushers are quite able. But you guys, do we sequester the church and your ability to love on and worship God in a holy convocation of people? Or do we take that chance to let you lift your hands? I know this is Calvary. I know that there's people here from the Catholic Church, from the Baptist Church, the Methodist, the Lutherans. I know that they all come. We don't raise our hands. That's why you don't. God bless you. And then there's people from the Pentecostal church. We raise our hands over here in this section. We raise our hands in this section. Well, God bless you. But we will not have little seats labeled Pentecostal section, Baptist section, you know, Lutheran section. No way. Last time I checked, we're all one in Christ. Okay, if you worship the Lord a little bit differently, God bless you. I love you. Who am I to say? You know, you ought not to be clapping that loud. God may have told you, can you clap loud to me, please? Who am I? All I'm to do is to give you the Word of God and see to it that the service is conducted in a way that's according to order and brings honor to God. That's based upon the Word of God. David was a worshiper of God. Listen, we cannot come to the throne of God and worship Him without a sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That sounds expensive. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Leviticus 2:13. And every offering of grain, offering that you make, shall be seasoned with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering, or with your offerings, they shall be offered with salt. Isn't that interesting? When you come to worship the Lord, it's to be an offering that has been offered also seasoned with salt. Isn't it cool as Christians? Jesus told us in Matthew 5:13, what? We are the salt of the world. That means if we are the salt of the world, we are continuous offerings of praise and worship to God. And everything that we do. That's why you can't punch in and punch out in your Christian experience. I was really good in church, so now I'm going to go break open a keg. Christians can't think like that. Christians don't think like that. Your life is an offering, a living sacrifice, and we're seasoned with salt. It's exciting. We're worshipers. It's what He's made us to do. Look at verses 3 and 4. The wrong kind of worship begins with an independent spirit. We also see in verses 3 and 4 that we could be tempted to take credit. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines, the flesh. That's interesting. Now look, it says here that the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land saying, let the Hebrews hear. That is, let all of Israel hear. Now, all Israel heard, and all of Israel heard it and said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, or flesh, and that Israel had also become an abomination to them. And the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. See, what's the big deal about this? Who went and fought the battle, people? Look at your Bible, verses 3 and 4. Jonathan went and fought the battle. But who's tooting his horn? Saul toots the horn. The people begin to say, giving credit to Saul, when Jonathan had done the battle. You say, well, that's kind of like no big deal. It's a very big deal. It speaks about his character. Let all Israel hear. Let all the Hebrews hear. Hear what? That there's a victory. And the people began to say and to believe that Saul had done the battle. Saul's the one blowing the horn. This is a danger zone. We can take credit. Say, what do you mean take credit? Now listen. This is to me petrifying. Saul blows the horn. Some of the most frightening words that I can ever hear in a church is when somebody says to me, you know what, I want to be a worship leader. Think about it. Oh man, Pastor Jack, you know what, I want to be a worship leader. Well, that's really great if God's calling you to be one, but you better really fast and pray about that. Do you know who the first worship leader ever was in eternity? Okay, it didn't go so well for him. His name's Lucifer. The Bible says he was the worship leader of heaven, but it went to his head. Woo, man, listen to me, toot my horn. Remember, he says in Isaiah, I will be like God. He gave the great five I wills of Satan, Lucifer's great declaration of who and what he was. Man, I tell you, it's a scary thing being in front of people, and especially in this area of music. Oh, man. Listen to him play that guitar. You can listen to him play that guitar. You ought to just season it with, man, didn't the Lord bless that guy at playing the guitar? Oh, man, you play the guitar so good. Can you? Oh, wow, you know. That guy who's receiving, or that gal who's receiving that input from somebody, ought to very, very, very quickly reflect that right to the Lord. Oh man, that was an awesome lick on the guitar, buddy. Oh, I'd like you to teach me that. You know, the Lord is so good. I didn't even know which end of the guitar to hold one day. And the Lord showed me, isn't God good? I tell you, why don't you take it before the Lord, you know, or whatever. But when somebody says, oh, I want to be a worship leader, that's frightening. You don't just say, well, I want to take Billy Graham's place. You don't do that. God calls people to those spots. And after calling them, he equips them. That's why you don't see super rock stars coming out of these rock bands of theirs and creating super worship teams. Well, do they have the talent? Come on, they've got the talent. I mean, I think some of them have the talent. I'm whatever. You know, just because Paul McCartney is a legend, you know, doesn't mean that he can get saved and God calls him to be a worship leader. But wouldn't you think in the flesh, and many ministries think this way, McCartney, Paul McCartney, he got saved? Oh man, boy, happy as the church, he's got him as a worship leader. Where do you get that idea from? It's carnal. It's carnal. It's as carnal as, you know, choosing, who am I going to witness to, the guy driving the Ferrari or the guy on the bicycle? Well, what's your point? Well, if I witness to the guy on the bicycle, he's just going to ride away. If I witness to the guy at the Ferrari, maybe he'll show up and tithe. That's carnal. That's the flesh. It's wrong. It's evil. It's presenting yourself in the wrong kind of worship. Because our lives are to be worship. Petrifying to me, the position to lead somebody in worship. Saul blows the horn. People misunderstand. It's frightening. Christian, we've learned by now that worship and warfare are inseparable acts of the Christian faith. You can't separate the two. Worship and warfare. What did Jesus do in the upper room before he went to the cross? He got the boys together and they sang a hymn. And then he went to battle. We are to worship. I don't want to get too far off the track because it might freak some of you out. But listen, many, many a Christian, especially those that are serving the Lord and God's doing things in their lives, he's really moving. Next thing I hear is they're having a hard time sleeping all of a sudden. They're hearing funny noises. They're getting weird feelings. They could have swore somebody was in their room a second ago. They think they're going nuts. I had a guy tell me that he walked out of his kitchen, walked back into his living room, sat down, forgot to put the sugar in his coffee, got back up, walked back into his kitchen, came back into the living room, and he had to get out of the house because the smell of burning sulfur was so bad he began to gag. Went back into the house and saw a dark shadow in his living room. Say, Jack, you got to be making that up. I'm not making it up. Don't tell him anymore. I won't. But listen, the realm that we live in, the realm that we really live in, it is of spiritual nature, my friend. You want to take a daisy cutter bomb or a neutron bomb and explode it in the realm of heaven or hell? It does nothing. Can you imagine detonating a nuclear bomb in front of a host of angels? It does nothing to them. One is of the physical universe, one is of the spiritual. How does the Christian succeed in this world? Are you ready for this? Going forward in worship. You want to drive the enemy away? Start singing a hymn.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Sing a godly song. Put on worship music, praise music. Your little children having a bad dream or whatever, put on a good, good, wonderful Christian CD and let it play in their room. Try it. I don't worry so much about the source of where that feeling might be coming from. Oh, what was that? I'm not gonna sit there and try to figure that part out. I'm just gonna start singing a song of worship. I'm not gonna let it go another minute. I want to worship. Why? Because in our Christian warfare, worship is key. And the more we learn this, the better off we'll be. But we've got to be careful that we don't take the credit. That is, when we come to worship, it needs to be self-sacrificing. It's very, very important. Look at verses 5 and 7. This independent spirit we have to watch out for because it could blind us against the truth. The Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped at Michmash to the east of Beth Evan. Look at verse 6. When the men of Israel saw, I would circle that word saw, that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. They're falling apart emotionally. Then the people hid, look, in caves, in thickets, rocks, holes, and pits. These are the people of God. And some of the Hebrews crossed over. Let's get out of here. Let's go back to the other side of the Jordan where we came from. They crossed over into Gad. And as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him. What does it say? Trembling. We better be careful. An independent spirit will eventually lead us to the place where we're motoring along and things might be sounding good. We might be looking good. But because we have an independent attitude and spirit about things, I don't need to worship. I'll just come to church. You know, as long as I'm there before the message starts, I'm cool. And especially if I could just get there. I'm not saying you think this way, but there are people who think this way. Well, I need to figure out when the offering is, because I'll come in right after the offering, but before the message begins. That'll really be great for me. That's not worship. These people, because they had become independent like their leader Saul from being dependent upon God, they were not worshipers. And they didn't worship the Lord with all of their heart, with all of their possessions, with all of their soul. They didn't. And so look what's happening to them. They're falling apart. The nation of Israel that was led out of Egypt, they were led by God through the wilderness. They crossed over the Jordan River, all of these tremendous works of God, and now they're hiding in holes, in caves. Sounds like Osama. In caves and holes, they're hiding out. Panicking. If they would have known the value and power of worshiping the one true God, I think they would have stood there. And when people stand trusting the Lord, you know what? God shows up. Listen, many times we miss the work of God because we don't stand still long enough to see God to come and rescue us. We look to everybody else to help us or bail us out. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Well, I'm already saved. No, no, no. See the salvation of God in whatever situation you're in. It's God's will that our flesh be stripped away that we might see the truth. And so the Philistines are gathered together in this huge, massive invasion. Sounds like the flesh. Look at it that way. The flesh has gathered around me with huge, massive power. Do you ever think like that in your life? You ever wonder why you struggle so much as a Christian? Because you and I have flesh. Stinking flesh. And the older you get, the more stinking it becomes. It's our flesh. But listen quickly and we'll press on. Romans 6, verse 6. Romans 6, 6 says, know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should serve sin no longer. Wow. Really? Yeah, the next time you're tempted or the next time you do step into sin, you say, hey, wait a minute, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't need to do this. You don't have to keep running to that sin. Cry out to the Lord. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. That's powerful. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. That is awesome. There's no longer anybody walking behind me keeping record of my failure and of my sin. When I do sin, grace says, got that covered, press on. Get up, go, keep going. But I just sinned, I got it covered, I'm grace, I've got that covered, now go, keep going. See, the law would say, you stumbled, you wretch, you wicked one, you nothing, you're condemned. You know, the Bible says that's all that the law did was condemn us. It had no way of exercising grace and mercy. The law showed us where we were wrong. Cut and dried, that's it. Black and white, the law. And then grace comes in and says, all right, all right, all right. He's condemned. The Son of God has paid his price. The law, sit over here now. All that you require has been achieved in Jesus Christ. Now sit there and be quiet. Now you, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to cause you to keep my statutes and my precepts, and you're going to do them. Watch this. Now get up and go. Start going. Really? Yeah, just start. Go to work. Drive. Go. And you're going along, and that guy cuts you off, and your temper starts going up the back of your neck, and right before you, you know, make an announcement or whatever, or the Lord says, hey, I'm here right with you. And even if you still blow it, the Lord says, oh, confess that. Doesn't he? Isn't it great? Confess it to me. Isn't that weird? The moment you can blow it, man, that guy just cut me off. What a nincompoop. And the Lord goes, hey, 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 hey. Confess that to me. Lord, I should not have called that guy nincompoop. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. What does the Lord say? Pull over. I'm taking my belt out. And I'm... No, he doesn't. He says, all right, now keep going. Drive, go, go, go. Drive, drive. Right? Doesn't he? He's amazing. Sin, listen, sin shall not have dominion over us anymore because it cannot. Well, then why is my life so messed up? Because you keep opening up the door and saying, sin, come on in here. Come on, grab a hold of me. Grab my leg and pull me off to that den of iniquity. Pull me, take me there. We sin because we want to sin. We sin because we leave the door open. Yes, we will sin to the day that Jesus comes for us or we die. But it's not our hope. It's not our intention. It's not our plan. Galatians 2:20, I love this verse. This is my life verse. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You got to staple that to your forehead. That's a good verse. That's a liberating verse. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's a fact. They're spiritual. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, number one, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Number two, bringing every thought under the captivity to the obedience of Christ. Three, being ready to punish all disobedience. Take it to him. He's so good. Be careful because wrong worship can lead us astray. It will blind us and we can miss the truth. And when we're worshipers, we can take cover under his mighty hand.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Wrong Type of Worship. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Samuel. It's a series that highlights the prophet Samuel, who was called by God during one of Israel's darkest ages, to bring the people back to a heart of true worship. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. In a world growing darker by the day, will you stand firm or be swept away? Pastor Jack Hibbs' new book, Called to Take a Bold Stand, is a wake-up call for every believer. With biblical clarity and real-life conviction, Jack Hibbs shows you how to overcome fear, hold fast to truth, and make every moment count. That's Called to Take a Bold Stand by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Get your copy for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.